The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the Punt Podcast on this Thursday morning. It's Dave Kellner filling in for Lee Phelps, and the chaps on the line, Ron Atkinson, Robbie Savage and Derek McGovern, to look ahead to this weekend's Premier League action. First of all, good morning, chaps.
Good morning.
How are you all?
Very well, thank you.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Good stuff. We'll get to the Moyes issue in just a few moments' time, but we'll start off with the team that put the final nail in David Moyes' coffin, Everton. They kick things off this weekend with a trip to Southampton on Saturday afternoon, 12:45 p.m. kickoff. This one, Southampton 9-5, the draw in the betting at 12-5, and Everton in the market at 7-5. And Everton come into this having beaten Manchester United 2-0. At Goodison, and they've kept their hopes of fourth place finish alive. Ron, it was a very different performance from Roberto Martinez's side, and that's what impressed me most, the fact that he set his side out differently than he usually does, and he showed that he can adapt to the situation.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's done very, very well this season. I mean, we've been championing his cause all season. But, I think that Crystal Palace game is going to come back to haunt them. Well, not haunt them, but it's just going to wreck what could have been a great season for them. I think this one going down to Southampton are the great unpredictables we find. It's very often you think they're going to, certain just to win, and they don't. Then they'll produce a result where you don't expect them to. So they're quite a hard team to sort of call. Mm. I do think on this one, I've just heard the odds go through there. I do think that's a standout bet for me, the draw. I think that Southampton will want to put on a performance. Everton, obviously, try and keep tabs on Arsenal, who I think are sure to win this weekend. But I think they're going to have to settle for a draw.
The draw's in the betting at 12-5. Robbie, is Adam Lallana's form a worry? Because a couple of weeks ago, or a few months back, people were saying that this guy was bound to start for England, but he's gone off the boil a little bit.
Well, I think now, I think it's been a story of two halves, Lallana. I think first half of the season, sensational. But I think now, for England, you're looking at Sterling's performances recently, and I think he's been the box seat, Sterling, with his performances. But Lallana will definitely go to the World Cup. Great talent. But I'm going with a draw on this game. But I think Sterling's in the box seat, to be fair. I don't know what Bell thinks.
Oh, Sterling will be there. Sterling should start on this season's form. It's been absolutely sensational. Yeah, I mean, there haven't been any. I mean, give me a choice of Sterling or Sturridge to play from the start in the Liverpool team. I'd be going for Sterling. Sturridge gets all the acclaim. Sterling has been sensational. As for this game, well, you know, Ron was arguing a couple of weeks ago that Southampton will plug at it, even though there's nothing for them at this stage of the season, because the England players want to keep impressing. There wasn't a sign of that last week, I didn't think, though, against Aston Villa. 0-0 draw. Looked an end of season type of game for Southampton. I've got a feeling this will be as well. I think Everton are a real good bet here. It's a big blow for them that they're missing Morales for the rest of the season. He's been sensational for them. But I think the Blues, only a point behind Arsenal with three games to go, bang up for it, the fourth place. I think they're good things here, Everton.
Tell you what, Derek, you just go back on that. You know, they didn't half play well at Villa Park. Villa Park got away by the skin of the Villa got away by the skin of the teeth.
I know, but
and you've just mentioned about Lallana. Apparently, he played very well, but he missed what appeared to be a decent chance. And the left back, Ashley Cole, might just have forced himself back into the World Cup the other night, but the left back was unbelievable.
He's a terrific player, absolutely terrific player. You know, Southampton have had loads of acclaim this season. They've only won 13 games. Not many, is it, out of 35 for a team that's in eighth. Don't win enough games for my liking.
Well, you know, the big drawback we've had on the most season, I think he threw it away in the cup competitions.
Yeah, I think that was bang up for him, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Couple of draws there then, 12-5, two draws, and Derek going with Everton at 7-5. Manchester United then, 5:30 p.m. kickoff on Saturday evening, 4-11 to beat Norwich at 7-1, and the draw at 19-5. Robbie, were you surprised by the timing of David Moyes' dismissal, first of all?
No, I wasn't. I think I looked back to when I was on TV in March with Garth, and I said, I think Moyes will be gone this season. I think Gigg, the interim charge, give him time to get a manager in place, because I think it's the biggest transfer window in United's history. I think they're going to have to spend for the new manager, whoever that may be. I have sympathy for David Moyes. I think some of the players didn't perform for him. The big question, Ron, the big argument is that people are saying that some people are blaming the Glazers and this and that, but I'm saying that when you're seventh at Manchester United, I'm sure you know a lot about that, Ron.
No. Fourth was the lowest I ever dropped down to, Rodney. but before that, they used to be eighth and ninth and tenth. When West Brom were romping in Europe every. Go on, your turn next, and you'll get beat every time. You know that.
But I just think, and Ron's in a better position to say this than me. But of all the years I've been watching United, and I'm sure this would drive Ron mad, that to see the lack of energy and desire from a midfielder or any midfielder to get past the centre forward and how defensive the team was, I think that, I just think that defensively minded manager doesn't work at Old Trafford. I think the job at the end was too big for him, and I think he's going to come back. I think he's going to be like a Villa, like a Newcastle, that kind of manager. But I think this job has proved, too big for him because of the way more or less he played. And you can argue the results have gotten the sack inevitably, yes. But, I can't remember United fans going to the edge of the seats and going to Old Trafford and sitting at the edge of the seats this season at all. And some of the performances have been, Everton away, Olympiacos away, Liverpool at home, City, the two City games. And as much as I have sympathy for David Moyes, I honestly think it's the right call for that football club.
Well, I think the other thing that happens now, of course, is they have one eye on the stock exchange, don't they? The results and the performance level haven't been what you would expect from Manchester United, but the other factor, of course, is the stock exchange situation.
Well, the Latin stock exchange.
Ron, from an ex-manager's point of view, I can't believe for a club of that size it was leaked or it was come out the day before. I think that is shocking.
Robbie, you missed it last week. I was telling the lads. I mean, from Sunday onwards you knew it was inevitable, didn't you? By the press soundings, and they were coming out with stuff, if it hadn't been right, then it got sued for. Somebody said, "What happened with you?" I said, "I turned up one morning and my boots weren't out for training." And Mick Brown, my assistant, is weren't. And Mick said, "The chairman wants to say, what do you think?" I said, "I don't think we're going to get a rise, Mick."
Is that how far you got the sack on, was it? Yeah.
Pardon?
Is that how you found out you got the sack?
I went in one morning. I went in on the Thursday morning. My boots went out for training, and I looked at Mix, and I promise you, not even a suggestion.
Really?
Honestly. And Mix said, "Somebody, the chairman wants to say."
Wow, the biggest surprise about that was way overdue.
Yeah, it was actually, because the year we dropped right down to fourth, I thought I'm in trouble here. I thought that winning the two trophies for the first time in... Anyway, there you go.
I think United will win the game.
Is it the right time to sack him now? I mean, with no European distractions next season, they'll surely follow Liverpool's example and cakewalk the league, won't it? It's going to be so easy for them with no Europe.
By the way...
7-1 if you fancy that, Derek.
Yeah, right.
We'll talk about... I tell you what wouldn't be a bad bet. Man U to finish above Liverpool next season.
Well, Ron, Liverpool were 9-2 at the beginning of this season to finish above Man United. It would be interesting to see what Hill's quote on that. Liverpool's certainty is to finish above United.
I mean, the worst thing they can do, if he gets a directive from the board, Ryan Giggs, it would be make sure we don't get in seventh place.
He doesn't want the job full-time because he wants to spend more time with his brother's family.
Ron, who would you go for, Ron?
I would, given a choice about, and it's... He might be well out of the distance, but I'd go for Ancelotti. If you're going for and I'll tell you for why, because he's got what they call on the continent simpatico. He's got that nice way with him.
If you fancy Ancelotti, by the way, he's 6-1 Ancelotti.
That does seem a big price, Ancelotti. Mm. Especially if he doesn't win a trophy with Real Madrid. Mm. And, you know, that's an odds on poke at the moment, I suspect.
Have you heard anything then, Ronnie, as far as
no,
the next
manager's
concerned?
Not at all. The two people I thought, if they were going foreign, the two people I thought might be in the frame, I mean, you rule Guardiola, right? He ain't coming. All right, Van Gaal certainly wants the job. He's put his name in the pot, and if you give me a grand and said you can pick anybody, I think he will get the job. And you know, I thought might have got in.
Howard Webb.
Behave yourself. I thought Laurent Blanc might, you know.
Laurent Blanc, 33 to 1.
I thought he might have been a little. If it's all even money, you go for the Dutchman. Yeah. Funnily enough, the other Dutchman I would have preferred Hiddink. I like Gus Hiddink, but he's taking the national job, hasn't he?
He has indeed. Louis Van Gaal is 8-13 to get the job on a permanent basis. Carlo Ancelotti 6-1. Jose Mourinho's been backed in recent days. He's 7-1 to get the job, and it's 25-1 and bigger the rest. As far as this game's concerned, chaps. Rod, you'd expect a reaction here, wouldn't you, under Ryan Giggs? 4-11, Man United. The draw 19-5. Norwich 7-1. Paul Scholes has come in the backroom staff, and you'd think they'd get the result against Norwich, who have looked poor recently.
I think it's a no-brainer. United will win. I think Norwich. I had Norwich weeks ago to get relegated, and I stick by that. I think I don't think they're going to get a point from the final four games. I think. United 4-11, would you? You have to put an awful lot of money on to win money, do you mean? But because it's a no-brainer. But 4-11 on, would I have a bet on it? No, because I think it. Do you mean 4-11? Not worth putting money on it. Do you mean? But United will win.
United to win, Derek.
Well, I mean, it'll be interesting to see United's style. And I mean, under Moyes, it was desperately dull. But you're guessing that even in the four games in charge, Giggs will promote some kind of style. Be it Cavalier, Gungo, or Doggy, but you know, I wouldn't normally go for a team at 4-11 when they've got, you know, it looks as though they've got nothing at stake against a team that are going to be playing for their lives. But United have got something at stake, haven't they? They've got to show something now under Giggs that they weren't showing under Moyes. So yeah, I agree with Robbie. I think United are certainties here.
Did you see Norwich play last week?
Second half
against Liverpool, they had a right go, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
And you look at that and you think, if you were going there now, first of all, Ryan Giggs has got to put his name to a team. Now, it's ever so easy to pick other teams when you ain't got to put your name to it. He's now got to put his name to a team. Interesting to see what team he comes out with. That will be the first thing. And they're going to get an unbelievable reception from the crowd. The crowd are going to be right behind him. Now, if you're in the Norwich camp, you'd say, whatever you do, don't concede. Just keep blocking it up, and see if you can then live on their frustrations. That might happen, you know. I don't think it's that much. It'll either be like a 5-0 job, or there might be a surprise win here for Norwich.
Would you have a little punt on Norwich then, Ron, at sevens?
Sevens, yeah, I might be a little bit interested in that, because United are very much the unknown now. You don't know, I mean, I'm seeing his picking. All right, Robbie, you get the job tomorrow. What team are you going to put out?
I don't know. I think that's the point, Ron. I think because I think United, as years gone by, you could name at least 8 or 9 starters every week. And now, you're looking at it, you're thinking, I don't know what team I'd pick, because I think in most positions they're very, very weak. Looking at Everton performance, Jones and Smalling centre half, miles off it together.
Didn't Evans play? I thought Evans played.
Evans. Was it Smalling right back, Evans and Jones? Miles off it. So they need an all new back four.
Yeah, I mean, I'd play Rooney up top. And I'd play Mata as the player behind him, and then I'd build a side around that.
Mm. What would you go wide?
Well, I'd certainly have Valencia in if I was having a wide player. And if it's the home game and you're playing
Welbeck?
No, I'd play the other kid.
Who would your two set midfielders be?
Well, you'd pick Carrick, and then your next one would be, I don't know who's fit. It looks very much reading between the lines Cleverley's going to play.
Really? Does it?
Yeah. Oh, reading that, I think Cleverley and Welbeck and those are going to. I think he's going to go with a lot of the as many of the produced players that he can do. Who would you play in there? I actually would play Phil Jones in there.
Yeah.
Because I think he gives them drive and energy in there. So I'd put him in there.
I think the thing they need more than anything is that midfield runner. You know, Robson, Keane, Scott.
Well, I mean,
I know where to find them players, but somebody just even a break.
Well, that's what I'm saying about Jones. I saw Jones play QPR, I think it was last season, and he really impressed me with his ability. There's very few midfield players do it now that run past the ball. A lot of them run past the ball when it's coming to them. I understand that. But I'm on about... I used to like a midfield player, Terry McDermott, prime example, Brian Robson, prime example, that when somebody got the ball, would just run past the strikers occasionally and disturb the opposition. And I remember doing a game this season where I said, why don't Fellaini just make four runs past the opposite midfield? Even if he don't receive the ball... You know, as a midfield, Robbie, the worst thing you can have is if a midfield player plays in front of you, all right, you've got to deal with him. But it's not the worst thing any midfield player can have is when his opposite number is running back on the back of him, running behind him. Because that's horrible then. You can sometimes duck out and hope one of the centre-half picks his run up. But if you're doing your job properly, you've got to track him. And just make three or four of them runs, then all of a sudden he drops off you and you can start getting the ball a bit short then and play. So, whoever, that's why if he's fit, I'd play Jones. I'd play Jones in there and tell him to just keep thrusting past them and using energy. Everard, I'd put in a left back for this one. Home game, bit of know-how.
Should be an interesting game anyway. That's the Saturday 5:30 p.m. game. Let's move on to the Sunday live matches, and we kick things off with Sunderland versus Cardiff at midday. This is a massive match as far as the relegation implications are concerned. And Sunderland, playing with some real spirit recently, picked up 4 points from matches at Manchester City and at Chelsea. And it's testament to Poirier's drive, really, that they've managed to get those results. They're still 3 points away from safety, and a lot will depend on how Norwich perform at Manchester United on Saturday evening. But Cardiff have also picked up 4 points from their last two games with a win at Southampton and a draw at home against Stoke. Sunderland 10-11 here, odds on to win this game. The draw in the betting at 5-2, with Cardiff in the market at 3-1. Derek, how do you see this one?
Well, I'm guided by the odds. You've got a team that's bottom of the league, and irrespective of those results against Chelsea and Man City, which no one could have predicted, Sunderland have been, in my eyes, the worst team in the league all season. That's why they're bottom, and they're odds on. Turn it in. That's a ridiculous price. 3-1 Cardiff, I have to go for that. I've said all season that Cardiff are underachievers. I look at the Cardiff squad and I think they should be doing an awful lot better. I actually think they've got the players to stay up. They've got three games to prove it now. They could easily win at Sunderland. Most teams do. And at 3-1, it's a no-brainer for me. Cardiff all day long.
Cardiff, Derek, Ron.
No, I can't see. I mean, I disagree. I don't think Cardiff have got the best players at all. I think actually Sunderland have got better players in every position apart from the centre-forward position. I think that's where they've struggled, although the kids come in Wickham and done very well. The biggest problem Sunderland have is in the home games. If they'd have won any percentage of their home games, they'd be clear now. You know, but they seem to reserve it for when they play the big teams, all right, those two matches in midweek. If you look back at the cup runs they had, where they beat big teams in that, but they haven't been able to reproduce that in the league against teams that, you know, the genuine six-pointers, if you like. I don't think they'll get beat, Sunderland. I'm just wondering whether the price for a draw would be more attractive.
Yeah, the
but
draw.
I don't think, from 5-2, you said, didn't you?
Yeah, 5-2 the draw. Ron.
Yeah, I think. I don't think Sunderland will get beat, and the draw price might just attract me to, which would be a better result, I think, for Cardiff than for Sunderland.
Yeah, definitely. Sunderland, yeah. 3 points adrift, and that goal difference not bad. -24 their goal difference, so ahead of Norwich, Cardiff, and Fulham as far as that stats concerned. Robbie, what do you make of this game?
Yeah, I'll go for Sunderland. I think that win against Chelsea, unbelievable. So. Massive momentum, and they have to win this game if they have any chance of staying up. Lose this, they're down. I think Sunderland at home, I think they'll win this game against Cardiff.
The 2:05 kickoff on Sunday afternoon, an absolute cracker. Liverpool versus Chelsea. Liverpool 4-6. The draw in the betting at 14-5, and Chelsea in the market at 4-1. Liverpool with 11 straight wins now in the Premier League. 1-6 to win their first league title since 89-90. And following this match, they've got to go to Crystal Palace, who are now safe, and they host Newcastle, who have checked out for the season on the last day of the season. Chelsea won the reverse fixture 2-1 back in December, but a lot's changed in the intervening period. And Liverpool have won this, and both teams have scored in five of their last six matches in the Premier League. Robbie, this is Liverpool's moment, isn't it? They can pretty much seal the title on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, they can. I think Mourinho, and obviously in his press conference after the game, is he going to play a strongest team? So many injuries, big game coming up against Wednesday, where he's already said he's going to prioritise Champions League. Couldn't have fallen better for Liverpool. It's over the course of the season, they've been the best team. You've got to say, if Mourinho played his strongest team, tactically, you know, I think it'd be a fantastic thing, because away from home in the big games, tactically, he's got his spot on, looking at City, when he went to Arsenal, Atletico Madrid. So, but I just don't think he'll have his strongest team out, so therefore I'm going to go for Liverpool. Will Sturridge be back? I'm not so sure. Henderson's still out, but the way they performed at Norwich, where they got a bit nervous, you know, listen to Ron before, they did get a bit nervous at Norwich, dropped a bit too deep at times, but I think at home, the way they start, I think a great bet is Liverpool to win both halves.
Okay, Liverpool to win both halves. Your bet, Robbie. Liverpool 4-6 to win the game. We have a couple of headline offers as well. Raheem Sterling to score and Liverpool to win. That's in the betting at 4-1 here with William Hill. Ron, do you think it's typical Jose Mourinho mind game, saying that he's going to play a weakened side? Because they've got a lot of strength in depth in this squad.
You know, I read the possible team that will play at the weekend, and that's almost a team he could stick into a European match.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got two of them that aren't eligible, ain't Lala and what's his name, Matic in midfield. Obviously, we're both coming for this game. Schwarzer's going to have to play. In fact, I wonder whether he might leave Schwarzer out, you know, play the other. The third, was it Hilario?
Yeah, Hilario, yeah.
So he might play him, you know, just to keep Schwarzer for Wednesday, to make sure he's okay for that. I got a funny old feeling that they might, and that they'll go there with a prestige point of view, not to get beat. I think he'll set his stall out to make sure they don't get beat. And I got a funny feeling they get away with a draw, which will suit Liverpool more than will suit Liverpool. Liverpool would be happy with a draw at this moment in time, because they know they've kept somebody else away from them, and you know they've got Newcastle. That's always their get out of jail card anyway. I know Derek still thinks Manchester City will pip them. I can't see it at all. Do you know what, Derek? I was thinking, watching the game the other night, I'm sitting there, Terry comes off, the goalie comes off injured, check.
Yeah.
And you're just thinking, if you're sat there as a Liverpool, anything in the Liverpool camp, you are laughing your head off, aren't you? Then yeah. John Terry limps off.
I know. You look like you trod on a plug, John Terry, didn't he?
You know, you keep looking at it and going, if ever there's a leak, if ever everything's fallen into place for a team, and they have been the most entertaining to watch, but they will have played in something like 12 games fewer than any team's ever won the league with before. There's some stat like that, you know. They will be the fewest game champions ever.
Right, okay.
I've no doubt that's played a part, Ron, but so much is being made of that. If it was that easy, why don't teams who don't have any European involvement come win the league the following year? It's never happened.
Derek, shut up a minute. Behave yourself. Liverpool are a top team, you know that. Liverpool have two world-class players, maybe others bordering on it, but they've certainly got two world-class players. Your Aston Villas and people like that who don't have cup, they ain't got no world class players. That's the biggest reason. You've got a Suarez. If Suarez had played in any other top team this season, they would be champions. That team he played in.
Okay.
No danger. Suarez, and backed up by Gerrard, who's been magnificent, they will have won them the league. All the others, yeah, they've played terrific. They've picked up off them. Coutinho's come in and done smashing. Henderson's played smashing. But it's all due to the fact that Gerrard and Suarez have been magnificent.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly right. And not to do with the European business.
And by the way, if Gerrard, you know the problems he's had over the years, Gerrard. How many times, if he was playing twice a week with a European travelling and all that, you look at his pedigree, track record over the years, he's had to drop out of games. He's had long spells out of the team with injury, maybe through overplaying. Now, they just sit there, and Brendan Rodgers said himself, it must be great. They play on Saturday. They just prepare for next Saturday.
Yeah.
You take away the risk of injuries. You keep players fresh. It's been brilliant for them. Not knocking them. I think they're easily the best team in the league to watch. But, you know, I mean, that's just the point.
Well, it is.
And by the way, you think they've been hopeless. It's only last week you thought they got a chance to win. You still don't think they can win the league.
Surely now, Derek, you've got to concede that... they're in the box seat anyway, Derek. Shall we put it like that?
Well, of course they are. They're 1-6. They were 1-6 at the start of the week, and they're still 1-6, even following the news that Chelsea might play this weekend team. That surprises me, because the odds for this match have changed massively. Liverpool were 11-10 earlier in the week, and now they're 4-6, which I have to say is criminally short. Because they've been nervy recently, Liverpool, and I don't believe all this Mourinho mind games. Chelsea are still in with an outside chance of winning this league. And, you know, don't you feel sorry for them? You know, they've loaned out so many players, they can't field a decent team on Sunday. I mean, what is this clown on about Mourinho? I mean, they've bought so many players over the last few years because they've been playing in Europe. It shouldn't be a problem to them. And also, by the way, you know, the two fellas that Ron mentioned, Matic and Salah, big money signings, and then they've got Lampard and Obi Mikel, who were suspended for Wednesday, so they'll definitely be in. So it's hardly going to be a team of kids in this.
Well, Derek, it won't be. It won't be. There will be very few, if any, unknown players in there.
Yeah. And Schwarzer did play well midweek, but Mourinho must have been thinking, what's Thibaut Courtois doing on the other side of the pitch?
Well, exactly.
Not a lot on the match.
Yeah.
I was flying last night. I don't know what the game was like last night, but I'm watching that game the other night and I'm thinking, is this a European Cup semi-final?
Yeah, it was a shocker, wasn't it? Absolute shocker.
Didn't need a Mogadon when it had finished, that's for sure.
What are you going for in this one then, Derek?
I'm going to go for Chelsea. Chelsea with a goal start, because I think Liverpool have to be opposed to those odds. So Chelsea plus a goal, and that is 6-5. Big price.
That's his self.
No, a draw would do me, Ron. I don't mind with a draw. I'll be happy with a draw.
I still think he'll conjure a draw, because I think if it's looking that way, I got a feeling that Liverpool might just look at this one and think the one thing we don't do in this is get beat. They might just have to change their mindset slightly as the game develops.
Ron.
Yeah.
I'm sitting with somebody here who says you know nothing about cricket.
You talk to Freddie Flintoff.
Yeah, hang on.
He doesn't know much about football, listening to him here.
Ronnie Michael Vaughan here.
How you doing, Vaughan?
Ron, I'll tell you what, I've been listening to you half an hour. At least you make some sense. The blonde bombshell in front of me talking the biggest load of ever.
Hey, Vaughan, why don't you put your hand in your back pocket and buy that Sheffield Wednesday? I'll come and be player manager.
Savage can get you in charge.
Savage can be the fitness coach. He can be. Hey, we'll have Hersey in charge of drama.
Get Carlton back. Get Palmer back. In his social.
Say no more. By the way, how can a top class batsman? I've been meaning to have a go at you about this. How can a top class batsman opt out of playing cricket and then go on that dancing program?
Well, exactly. I was better at dancing than batting at the end.
Oh no, you weren't. You get back and play. Bloody hellfire!
I wish I could. Wish I could. My knees are like yours.
I've left one at home today.
Good to speak to you.
Good lad, Vaughan. Top man.
Tell you what, Ron. I'll tell you what. His knees are like yours, and you need a squirrel like he's got on his head.
Let's have a look at the 4:10 p.m. game then on Sunday afternoon. This is Crystal Palace versus Man City, and Tony Pulis undoubtedly a contender for manager of the season. They've won five top flight matches in a row for the first time since December 1992. Crystal Palace, they're 13-2 to win at home against Manchester City. The draw's 19-5. Manchester City in the betting at 2-5, and one thing's for certain, Pulis will have them bang up for this, Ron. He won't take his foot off the gas.
Oh, no way. You've got to look at City and think, I mean, these are the sort of matches that I'm never confident with City, but, you know, they're at the point of no return. If they're going to make if they're going to have any vague outside chance, they've got to go there and play with all guns blazing. You know, Aguero back. Will Torre be back? I'm not sure. I think they miss Silva more than Torre, because I think Silva's a magnificent player. I actually think City have got to go there and win. they've got to go there and win. Otherwise, you know, David Moyes has gone. He might get the City job next year if this... I'd go for a City win. Not a confidence shout, but bearing in mind that their needs must. And do Crystal Palace at any given time win 6 on the bounce? But do they win 5 on the bounce?
You've said that every week now, Ron.
I know. Hello, man. So I got me right 1 week.
If Palace has done fantastic, Annie. I mean, you know, he's second favourite with Hills, 9-4 second favourite for manager of the year. I think Brendan Rodgers is 1-3. Mm. And Rodgers will win it, obviously, if Liverpool win the league. But, I mean, there's talk now that Newcastle won him, Tottenham won him, and WikiLeaks won him as well, don't they, after that after that Spygate saga. You know what, Ron? I should think that Palace are going to give up the ghost in this, because they're safe, and you know, what's in it for them now?
Oh, they'll have a go, don't you?
I know, it's because of the manager. It's because of the manager and the way they're playing.
And because of the team. The team can... they've got the shackles off now. They know full well that they're safe. There'll be plenty of adrenaline there.
Yeah.
You just got to think that Manchester City, at some given time, and you know my take on City, I don't think it's been quite right there all season. I don't think. I think there's been something sadly missing. When the going gets tough, they don't.
I'd have to go for City as well. I mean, you know, actually, Palace have won as many home games as City have won away. In fact, Palace have won more home games than Man United this season, quite remarkably. But I've just got to go for City, because I just think on their day they're the best team in the league.
No, they're not.
If they played at their best and Liverpool played at their best, Ron, City would win. I'm going to go for City here. A little bit shorter than I would like, but I'm going for them.
2 for City at 2-5. Robbie, Derek and Ron both going with Manchester City here. Which way are you leaning?
Yeah, I'd go with them. I'd agree with him. I think as well as Pulis has done, and he's done brilliant, I still think Brendan's manager of the year, the way Liverpool have played, and if they win the league, but Pulis close, but I think I'm going to go with City. They'll miss it over, but Maguire will back. I'm going to go with City.
Get Barney back.
The game on Monday night, the 8 p.m. kickoff televised game, is Arsenal Newcastle. Arsenal 2-7 to win this game. The draw 9-2, with Newcastle in the betting at 9-1. Arsenal have won the last 4 meetings between the two teams. They're definitely in pole position as far as fourth place is concerned. And Robbie, things are going horribly for Newcastle at the moment. Lost their last 5. They've only scored 1 goal in that spell as well. Newcastle definitely look to have checked out as far as this season's concerned.
I think Arsenal will cement that fourth play. I think Arsenal will finish fourth. I think they'll back the Newcastle. Newcastle, wow, what has gone wrong? And with Moyes' second, I think that puts pressure on Pardew. I think because a Newcastle Moyes fit, it would be really, really interesting. I think that's what kind of club, you know, Moyes, you know, would be good at. You got to go Arsenal 2-0. Can't see Newcastle scoring. Arsenal 3-0.
Arsenal to win this one 3-0 in the betting at 7-1. Derek, instinctively, I'd imagine you want to take on Arsenal at 2-7, but
not with Newcastle.
It's tough against the Newcastle side, isn't it?
You couldn't back Newcastle to beat anyone at the moment. They're just appalling. They have checked out long ago. The manager might follow them soon after. It has to be Arsenal at 2-7. Normally, I would never even look at. But this is a team that's, you know, they bang up for fourth place against a team that's given up. Yeah, Arsenal all day long.
Arsenal 2-7. Would you be going for a correct score or a handicap bet here then, Derek?
I think Arsenal to keep a clean sheet as well. Arsenal's the only team to score 21-20. I think that's a good thing.
Good stuff. And Ron?
Yeah, I definitely owe Arsenal. I mean, they're getting players back now. Looking at them a whole the other day. Ramsey, I read an article this week, and it'd be interesting to see. If Ramsey hadn't got injured, just where might they finish? Because when he was flying, not only were Arsenal not romping the league, but they're flying away there. He was also well in the frame with Suarez for Player of the Year, you know. And, you know, he's come back. They've got Ozil's come back. I'm a bit surprised he don't play Oxlade-Chamberlain more. I would, but there you go. For me, Arsenal, it's just a question of how many. I wouldn't disagree with the 3-0 that's been quoted.
Yeah, 7-1 for Arsenal to win it. 3-0, that's the
game.
What
about 2-0? What's that?
2-0 is 6-1.
6-1. one, yeah. Okay. I wouldn't buy anybody off those two prices.
Yeah. Arsenal to win to nil. Unanimous verdict there. Arsenal 2-7. The draw 9-2. Newcastle in the betting at 9-1. Let's spin through the 3 p.m. Saturday games, the non-televised matches this weekend. And we'll start off with Stoke versus Tottenham. Stoke 11-5. The draw 11-5. Tottenham at 13-10 here. Stoke's home record again, Derek, very strong this season. Only lost two at home, and that's been the foundation of their mid-table position.
Yeah, fantastic home record. I mean, early on in the season, you thought, doesn't seem like the same Stoke, you know, with their, it wasn't a fortress to Britannia, but two defeats, it's just absolutely sensational. And I think they'll win this all day long. I think Tottenham have checked out for the season, irrespective of, you know, that result against Fulham last week. I haven't been impressed with Tottenham for an awful long time. And at these odds, I think Stoke are a real good bet.
Stoke in the betting at 11-5. Robbie, what do you make of this one? 11-5 Stoke, the draw 11-5, Tottenham 13-10. Obviously, Tottenham going to go in a different direction in the summer. Tim Sherwood undoubtedly has been entertaining as manager, but people questioning whether he's got the tactical nous for Premier League management.
Stoke-Tottenham, Stoke on a terrific run. Their home form is very, very good. I'm going to go with a Stoke win now. I think with the Spurs last away performance was 3-3 at West Brom and they were 3-0 down. I think if Stoke start like that, I think they'll beat Spurs. I'm going to go with a Stoke home win.
And Ron?
I'll go for a draw. I think Spurs can score a goal against anything but the best. But I think both teams would be relatively happy. Stoke would be quite happy with that. I know they've had a decent season, actually.
They wouldn't have finished in the top 10, Ron. No
yeah,
doubt.
Well,
I
think...
I
think if they draw, I think they'll still be on course for that. Because the teams below them ain't going to go past them.
It's only Palace, isn't it, I think?
Well, Palace are in the frame, but we're thinking they might get beat this weekend.
Can you see both teams to score there then, Ron?
Yes.
7-10.
That would be there's no way. Probably there's no way it'll be a no-score draw this.
West Brom, West Ham, also a 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. West Brom 10-11 to win this game. The draw 5-2. West Ham in the betting at 3-1. Robbie, do you think West Ham maybe need one more point to be absolutely assured survival? The fans clearly not happy even when West Ham are winning with Sam Allardyce as manager at the moment. It looks like a good position for West Brom to get points at home against West Ham.
West Ham are safe now. 37 points is enough. They don't need any more points, West Ham. That's enough. I think 35 with goal difference. Good goal difference might stay up.
Yeah.
36 definitely will stay up, I think. So I think West Ham are safe. Therefore, West Brom need the game more. I think at home, I think they'll win it. I think I'd put, yeah, definitely go for West Brom.
West Brom 10-11. Derek, your thoughts on this one?
Well, you know, Lee will tell you, Dave, that at this stage of the season, I go for teams that, especially at home, that have something to play for against teams who are almost on the beach.
Yeah.
When the odds aren't ridiculous, and I have to say, West Brom at 10-11 isn't ridiculous. I was impressed with them when they got beat the other night against Man City, particularly on the break. If they were away from home against West Ham, I'd fancy them big time. At home, where the onus is on them to make the play, maybe not so much. But yeah, I'll back them at 10-11. I think they're good things.
10-11 West Brom. Ron?
Yeah, I'm a little bit tempted to look at whether Sam will set up and try and get a draw out of the game, which he can do. I mean, they've got an astonishing record of no-score draws, haven't they? Or not clean sheets, anyway.
West Ham, yeah.
Got an, so I'm a little bit tempted to go for the draw, but I think they just about slightly favour West Brom. Just about slightly favour them. But I wouldn't be at all surprised to see a draw.
Fulham take on Hull at 3 p.m. on Saturday. Fulham 5-4, the draw 9-4, with Hull in the betting at 9-4. And Derek, this is a big match. Hull need to secure their Premier League status so they can enjoy that FA Cup final against Arsenal. In all probability, they are safe, Hull. Things much more desperate for Fulham down at the bottom of the table. They're 2 points behind Norwich, who are one spot above the relegation zone. And they've got the worst goal difference in the league, so things Desperate for Fulham at the moment, Derek.
Yeah, but he gave themselves a chance with those two wins on the bounce, didn't he? And no disgrace in that 3-1 defeat at Tottenham last time. And I think, you know, I keep reading that Swansea definitely safe. And they're on the same number of points as Hull. I haven't played a game more, so I'm not quite sure. Surely Hull must be. I don't know, maybe it's a quirk of the fixture list who plays against each other. But I'm pretty sure Hull are safe. They've got the FA Cup final coming up. I fancy Fulham all day long here, 5-4. I think odds against in a match like this is a big price for them.
Ron?
Yeah, Fulham. Definitely Fulham.
Yep.
Yeah. It is the point of no return for them. They've won two out of the last three, and they're gambling on winning matches like this. Fulham for me, definitely.
And you as well, Robbie?
Yeah, me too, Fulham.
Swansea, Aston Villa, the last game we're going to look at this weekend. Swansea 4-6, the draw 13-5. Aston Villa in the betting at 9-2. Only a point separates these two sides, Ron. And Wilfred Boney's last-minute winner against Newcastle has alleviated a bit of the pressure, but they're still in trouble, Swansea, as you've just mentioned. Aston Villa only picked up 1 point from their last five matches. They've got a game in hand, Aston Villa, Ron, but they've got to go to Manchester City and Tottenham in their final two matches. It's going to be a tough finish for Villa.
Very much so. I think they'll be more reliant upon what the other teams don't get than what they get themselves. I've watched that Boney quite a bit this season. He's a very decent player. He's what, at the moment, Villa haven't got. They haven't got a goal scorer with Benteke out the side, and they were very lucky. The best result Villa can get out of it, in my book, is a no-score draw. That's the best result. But I think Swansea will want to make sure that they're in. They preserve the status for next season. I'm gonna go for a Swansea win with Boney to score.
Wilfred Boney to score first and Swansea to win is the headline offer at 7-1. Boney to score and Swansea to win in the betting at 3-1. Robbie, what do you make of Swansea Aston Villa?
Yeah, I think I'm going wrong. That's my bet of the week. Boney to score first, Swansea to win 7-1. That's my bet of the week.
That's my bet of the week, that, by the way.
Yeah, 4-6 Swansea, Dave. You have to say it's criminally short. If they did have sealed their safety and they celebrated last week as though they had, you know, is there any mileage in it for them here? Against a team that, you know, need to be at it still, Villa. When Villa are away from home, we're always a dangerous package away from home, Villa. I'm going to go for Villa with a start here. I think Swansea are crying out to be opposed at those kind of odds. So Villa with a goal start at 6-5, that'll do me nicely. Probably be my bet of the week, that one.
Robbie can take Wilfred Boney and Swansea to win.
3-1.
3-1 for him to score any time and Swansea to win.
Very good. Can he do that, though?
Derek,
I can't. What are you going for, Ronaldo?
How many do you think Arsenal will beat Newcastle by? Go on, 3-0. Because I'm chasing shadows here a little bit. Now, if Giroud gets the first goal, how much is that?
18-1.
Yeah, go on, I'll go with that. If I name all three scorers, does that go to about 100-1? Because I'll have Podolski as well, and Ramsey. I'll have, what's his name? I've just said, what about a 3-0 with me naming Giroud, Ramsey and Podolski as the three goal scorers?
I'm sure we could give you a special price on
that's
on
that got to be about 1,000-1.
It must be about 1,000-1 that one, at the very least.
Have you got can't that, have that, Ronaldo.
Have you got that much? Have you got that much to make up, Ron?
Yeah, more. It wouldn't be enough.
I need snookers.
Well, I'm going to re-leap in with mine now. I'm going to go for Cardiff 3-1 to win at Sunderland.
Okay. All right. So I've got that one over with all them three goals.
You've
scorers.
Got that. Podolski, Ramsey, Giroud all to score and Arsenal to win 3-0.
Yeah.
Good luck with that, Ronaldo.
Good luck, Ron.
See you later, lads.
Thanks, chaps. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Pump Podcast, and we'll be back with Lee Phelps in the seat next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.